Welcome to side two of the October 1999 edition of Computer Talk, and as I say, I'm looking forward very much to putting this new version of Golden Brown onto the next tape. However, let us now continue with Andy on yet another subject.
I did also say that in my last article that I would say a few words this time about my new scanner that I've just purchased. I brought a screen ScanExpress 1200p. Now, I know there's an 800, I think, and there's a 1000. What exactly is the difference? I think it's just the size. It's what I agreed on when I had a problem with the internet and the computer engineer came out, and while he was there, I bought the scanner. Anyway, it's a ScanExpress 1200p. And from the start menu, you can access your text bridge, which is will give you the screen for the five options available on the scanner. These options are OCR. This is the one that one of the options that I use if I need to alter text or font sizes in documents. Some of you might know my wife is a lay reader, and she's quite often taking Holy Communion out of church into hospitals or one of the homes that we've got around here, and she's often at me with the prayer book, hymn book in front of her. Can you scan me this one and bring it up? So, and it's very easy. You put the hymn book in there, scan one hymn, delete what you don't want, because it can't maybe two or three pages, you know, you get the two pages. So I'll scan the one page, delete all what's come up with it as well, and then I can raise the font size back up to something like 26, 28 size, print it off, and she's quite happy. And then she goes and duplicates them somewhere else. You can, by this screen, alter any document that you've got. Hopefully, it should recognise the text. If it doesn't, then you've got to alter that as well. By the way, what you've got to do is, once you've scanned it, then you put it into a new Word document in your word processor, and then any text can be changed. Then there's the option for you to scan the document and then directly email it. I've not tried this one yet, because I haven't had an actual document I've got to email to anybody, but when I do, I'll try it and I'll see what it's like. And the next option, you can directly fax a document. That one, as I say, I've not used very much. And the fourth option is to make a copy of the document into the computer. The last option is the one that I find works very well as a scan option. This is the option where you can scan a document and your printer will just print out a copy of the document you have just scanned. That one is one of the ones I use a lot of. There is also available on the start menu something called Photo Plus 1.2. This is for scanning things like photographs into the computer. And then you can put them onto a Word document or something like that, or in your word processor. Then the photographs can be changed or moved around. I don't think many of us will be using this very much with this part of the scanner's capabilities, but it is there if you ever do. So I won't waste much more time talking about this. But if you need any advice about it, please give me a ring. And now, just before I finish for this month, I do have an update about my ViaVoice. I have the new now put in an extra hard drive. Well, in fact, what it is, it's not an extra hard drive, because my first hard drive was only a 1 gig hard drive. I've put another one in, and it split that one into two, which gives me three hard drives, because I've upgraded my ViaVoice program to the new ViaVoice 98, which is working quite well, but I need to do far more training when I've got the time before I can give you a full report on that. This is very useful, actually, putting an extra hard drive in, giving you three. It means that I can put all my temp files on one hard drive out the way, on one drive out the way. My normal files are all on one drive, and then I've got my ViaVoice on a drive on its own. It's very useful and very easy to work once you've got it. It's only just like having three, like it used to be when you had multitudes of A drives, I suppose. Now I've got three hard drives. And finally, if you would like to get in touch with me about anything regarding Windows 95 or anything else, please do so. If I can't help, I know a man who can, okay? But we'll try and help you out. My address is 28 Northcroft, Willerton, Somerset, TA44RS. Telephone or fax 01984 632 905. My mobile is 0403 760 450, and my email 11320204@compuserve.com. Bye for this time.
And bye to Andy Machin there. And thanks for all the tidbits you have been sending us. I'm sure people will find them very interesting. Well, as I said earlier on in the tape, I have had a dearth of articles this time round for Computer Talk. So it looks like I shall be talking to you for the rest of the tape. So now I shall give you a demonstration of some of my new equipment. Earlier this year, I received some new equipment at work. First of all, a new PC, Pentium 3, with 450 MHz processor and 128 meg of RAM. Also, a PowerBrail 80 and JAWS 3.2, which has now been updated to JAWS 3.3, and patch 026. The PowerBrail is something I've been wanting for quite a long time now, so I shall describe it to you because some of you may not have seen them. There are two versions of the PowerBrail: the PowerBrail 40, which means it has 40 Brail cells, and the PowerBrail 80, which has actually 81 cells, which means you can read straight along the line. The PowerBrail measures 24 inches wide, 11.5 inches deep, and 1.5 inches thick. I used to have a Navigator 40, which was very much thicker than that, much more bulky, but this is a much slimmer machine and very nice to use. The rear panel of the machine has various ports and controls. Starting from the right-hand side, there is the on-off switch. When you turn the PowerBrail on, it shows its make and model number. When it is off, it just says about battery usage, which on mine is 00 because I don't use a battery, mine is on the mains. To the left of the power on-off switch is the DC input jack for the power. Then there is a speak-out socket if using a speech synthesizer. Then speaker B in, speaker A in. That is to do with speech synthesizers, but none of these are used. Then there is the keyboard in and the keyboard out. Next we have the serial B 9-pin DTE serial port, and this is for when you use a Braille and speak or for use of a second computer. Next we have a printer 25-pin parallel port. Next we have the parallel A 25 pin. This is to attach a cable to the computer's parallel port if all the serial ports are used, and this can be shared with a printer. Next we have the serial A 9 pin DCE serial port. Then the keyboard A in and the keyboard A out. On the top surface of the PowerBrail is a sticky rubber pad on which sits the keyboard. In front of that there is a slightly raised ridge, in front of which are four bars which move the display. The one on the left moves the display to the left, whilst the three to the right move the display to the right. They are arranged like that because you are more likely to read with the right hand going straight along the Braille display, and your left hand will be at the left hand end, ready to move to the left if necessary. To the left and to the right of these bars are a pair of what are called cursor buttons. When it's in screen power mode, they apparently act as cursors, but with JAWS, the left cursor buttons are for the PC cursor and the JAWS cursor, whilst the right-hand side buttons are for the left and right mouse, although these buttons are actually duplicated on the keyboard. Then you come to the cursor routine buttons, which are very, very useful, and these are to actually move the cursor quickly rather than using control and arrow. You can just press one of these buttons, one above each braille cell, and the cursor will flick to it. In front of the braille display itself is a tactile ruler, and then you've got some switches on the front edge of the power braille. The leftmost one switches between 6-dot braille and 8-dot braille. You can also use it to show you whether you've got underscore or whatever, or some kind of mode on your braille display, although I don't find that particularly useful. But as for the second switch, the manual says it is to do with the attribute, which I've just been mentioning, but it is actually to do with which mode you've got on. It can either show no highlight, highlight, bold, underscore, or all of the highlights. It actually says bold underscore as you switch the switch, and these are shown singly by dots 7 and 8 on the bottom of the braille cells. Then there are two long bars called the rocker bars. The first one moves the braille display up and down. The second one moves the off-screen model up and down. In between the two rocker bars are two buttons, one being concave, one being convex. One is to do with the return key, and I forget what the other one is. To the right of the right rocker bar are two more little switches. The first one doesn't actually do anything for me, and the second one, I forget what that does, but it's not one I use. The first one actually you can program to do something for you if you want it to. Now, in the twinkling of an eye, I'm going to go to my machine at work and show you the Power Braille 80 working with JAWS 3.3. I'm going to switch my machine on from cold. My Power Braille is already on, so you will hear the machine boot up. Anyway, there's the beep and there's the disc whirring on. You will hear a lot of noise because of a computer being on, but it will play a little tune. There's nothing on the keyboard at the moment. Before it starts, it gives it a little logo and things like that. So it's all blank and it should be coming up any moment now. There's its tune to tell you something's coming up.
JAWS for Windows is ready. Enter network password dialog. Type your password to log into the server. Password edit.
And because we're on JAWS 3.3, it has the word password in contracted braille with a dot 6 just before the word password, denoting that the P is for capital P. So enter password.
Star star star. App start arrow. Hourglass, app start, desktop, list view, not selected, my computer, 1 of 17, arrow.
Right, because we're on the intermediate ones, the voice doesn't tell you what is on there, but I can read it on the braille display. We've got my computer, internet, Outlook, Word, recycle bin, if you want to read along with the voice. On your arm, read line.
I like MSN, Sarah, my. Selected my computer, icon, my computer.
Then read along by pressing right arrow.
Internet Explorer.
Now it's said the whole thing there.
Outlook. Word. Recycle bin.
And so forth. So let's see what we've got in Pegasus. Press P.
P. Pegasus Mail.
That is my mail, of course. I'm looking back.
Pegasus Mail. New mail folder. One message. List box. Hourglass.
One message. But
Control
open
W.
It up. Control W. Which brings up Pegasus.
Alt dash restore grade F.
Make it bigger. And it's Deborah Buck saying
Deborah
there's
Buck,
food.
HF99915:18. Deborah Buck, food. HF99915:18. Deborah Buck, food, list box, Deborah Buck, food, 879915:18.
Well, date September today, it doesn't read properly, the packet is mail because it's not a proper Microsoft thing. It hasn't got the hooks on it, but I can read it in the Braille display. It's got date sent Wednesday, 8th September 1999, 15:18:34, GMT, then priority normal. I'm pressing the rocker bar down, which goes off the screen, because it doesn't read any other way. It's the way that Pegasus works. Subject food from Deborah Buck, and it tells where she is. Two had a long string of characters denoting where we are. I send reply to. There's food, including cake, in copy room. Well, that's very nice. We'll get rid of that. Tab to the right. Because
reply.
It's not set up, I have to just listen to the voice for that.
Tab, delete.
Delete.
Delete messages dialog. Are you sure you want to delete the marked messages? Yes button.
Asking me if I want to delete.
New mail folder, zero messages, list box.
Now it's saying zero messages, so we'll get
F4.
Out of that. By pressing Alt F4, of course, and then using the JAWS feature, which is the insert button on the keypad, and F6. This minimizes all applications and takes you back into the desktop. A lot of the commands in JAWS or helpful things which move you around and do things are on the keypad, as they are with a lot of these things. We'll go back into Minimize All Apps.
Minimize All Apps. Desktop. List View. Pegasus Mail. 13117.
Which?
W. Word.
Press W for Word, so we'll go
app
into
start.
That.
Hourglass.
That's dark. I've got it on Messages, which tells you when the hourglass is on or once it's
Microsoft
just finished.
Word Document 1. Document 1.
Hopefully,
edit ID.
It'll also say arrow. It'll also say arrow, which denotes that it wants you to do something. So we'll also bring up Windows Explorer.
E, hourglass, arrow, exploring my computer, list view, not selected, 3/1/2 floppy, a 3/1/2 inch floppy disk, 1/1/6.
So it's in the floppy disk one, so we'll go into our local network here.
View, users on apostrophe, iris is H. List view, not selected, folder, F.
So
NNN, NJC26.
That's my section.
List view, not selected, folder, Winward 6, W, Winward. List view, not selected, E, ethics. List view, not selected, MS Word Doc, Towns 321KB, Microsoft Word Document, 1/8/5/2.
You will have heard the message saying not selected. Of course, if you press spacebar, it does select it and highlight it, as it were. And of course, when you press enter, it does something with it. The message will also tell you when something is selected. You can either have messages on or off, or parts of messages on or off, which is one of the new facets of JAWS 3.3. Right, there's a lot of documents there that we're going to Microsoft Word.
Alt tab, Microsoft Word.
And
Microsoft Word.
Bring up a new document, which we'll do with Control N.
N, I mean, document 3, edit.
But first of all, I'll show you one or two of the new things in JAWS 3.3. Some of you, of course, may not know JAWS at all, but we'll go into the JAWS setup.
JAWS, run JAWS Manager dialog, list box, configuration manager, 1/7.
You do that with insert key and F2. Anyway, it's got a few different things to help you make JAWS into the way you want it to work. On the display, it's got configuration manager as well, okay. That is highlighted, and the way you know it's highlighted is that it's got all dots and an H below that. So if you press enter, you're going to be JAWS configuration manager. The other things on here are
dictionary manager, frame manager, graphics labeler, keyboard manager, script manager, window class reassign.
Well, we shall get out of
Alt F4,
there.
Microsoft Word document 3, document 3, edit.
You can either use the default configuration manager, which affects everything in JAWS, or you can use one particular one. There's a file for each program which you use, or for most of them, or you can create one in any case. So we'll go into JAWS itself.
Arrow, JAWS. I've been.
And we'll show you one or two of the other things. We'll go into the file menu.
File.
Now, on the display, I have underlined file, which is highlighted, then not underlined, voices, utilities, language, help. So we'll cursor right.
Voices.
And look at the voices.
Global dot dot dot.
Now we've got options. This is highlighted now, global.
Keyboard dot dot dot.
Global is to affect all the voices together. Keyboard is to affect the keyboard voice.
PC cursor dot dot dot.
PC cursor is just to affect the screen voice.
Jaws cursor dot dot dot.
Jaws cursor is to affect the jaws voice, which is akin to the mouse.
Message dot dot dot.
And message is very useful because you can either
set this using system volume control. Message voice options dialog. Volume menu. Set this using system volume control.
Well, you can set this using the system volume control. You can have a different volume for each thing.
Rate 250 left right scroll bar 21%.
And you can affect the rate.
Pitch 50 left right scroll bar. Person combo box Rocco.
And the person as well, and he's called Rocco, so he's a little bit different.
Punctuation combo box sum.
And you can set the punctuation to what you want.
Okay button.
And okay, but we'll just cancel out of that. And we go
tab arrow Microsoft Word document 3.
Go back into
Word. Document 3. Document
and
3.
What
edit.
We'll do, we'll go into a new template.
Document 4. Edit unknown.
I have Word set up so it tells me when it is a paragraph, both in voice and on the screen. A useful thing in JAWS 3.3 is that, as well as contracted braille, when you have the paragraph mark and you aren't on it, it shows it at a star, two lower eyes. When the cursor is on it, it looks like a T with two dots on the bottom, although it did used to do that before. This is also very, very useful if you are doing a table. If the cursor is on the column you want to be, it looks like an O. If it is not, it's a little star, as in here. So again, that is very useful because sometimes when you're writing something in a column, you're in the wrong one, it gives, this is not an applicable column or whatever it is. Okay, so we have to start again. Anyway, we'll do this letter and make one or two deliberate mistakes and use some of my macros to make it quicker.
TTF F3.
That's thank you for your letter of
30 August.
And we'll do another little macro.
Add F3.
And then we'll do another paragraph.
Light F3. In the light of the information and revised documentation provided, I can now confirm the grant of ethical approval in respect of your research study application. Paragraph.
The message facility is very useful, I think, because it shows font size, characters, all sorts of things like that. I don't have them all on, but we can read down and see what it says.
At the Center for Health Services Research, paragraph marker 21 Claremont Place, paragraph marker 8 point
well,
health.
We don't want that, but now that I've stopped it, the display has actually now stopped at the Centre for Health Services Research, which is very good. I've got it on reading sentence because if I have it reading paragraph, it doesn't always stop at the right place. Anyway, we might want to know what font it is, so and other things about this particular line, so we'll do insert F.
Current character formatting italicized, normal Arial 10 points, paragraph formatting aligned left, outline level body text.
Well, it's actually centered, but you heard what point and size it is, and that it's italicized, so that's pretty good. So we'll check one or two other things.
Dear Professor Calvert, paragraph marker.
That's who the left is to.
Paragraph marker.
Empty line.
Old Joint Ethics Committee, paragraph marker.
Now we heard it say bold, Joint Ethics Committee, paragraph marker. So that's good.
Minref, paragraph marker.
Check the rest of the letter.
Minref, paragraph marker. Thank you for your letter of 30 August addressing the concerns expressed by the Joint Ethics Committee when it considered your application in respect of this study. Paragraph marker. In the light of the information and revised documentation provided, I can now confirm the grant of ethical approval in respect of dire research study application. Study.
Now, something's wrong there.
In the light of the information and revised
document. What we should
thank
do
you for your letter of
is spell check the thing, I do it from part way down the letter because the tops are always the same in any case. So we shall do that. And
select
F7 to go into the spell check.
Hourglass, I mean, spelling and grammar, English, British dialogue, not a dictionary, dire, D-D-Y-O-U-R, no spelling suggestions.
Well, you heard no spelling suggestions. You also heard I-beam, and this means that it wants you to put something in your text. The questionable word on the display is shown as it has the flashing cursor after it, dot 7 and 8. Option, you can actually do insert and F7, which then tells you again.
Not a dictionary, dire, D-D-Y-O-U-R, no spelling suggestions.
It gives no spelling suggestions there, so we'll just go back to the cursor.
Hold one key.
And
O, Y, D.
You heard it saying both, so we'll get rid of
y.
Those. And we'll press out C.
C arrow, spelling and grammar, English, British dialogue, Microsoft Word dialogue, Word finished checking the selection. Do you want to continue checking the remainder of the document? Yes button.
Right, we've got the yes and no on the screen. That's all we've got on the screen. The cursor is on the Y of yes because it is flashing. However, if you want to read that speech again, although you can set the braille option that everything comes on the screen. However, I don't need that because I've got it speaking, but those who cannot hear the speech would find that very useful. So we'll go off screen and you can actually read what it says on the braille display. We'll finish checking the selection. Do you want to continue checking the remainder going down the line of the document? Question mark. So I shall press N for no.
And Microsoft Word document 4. Document 4. Edit in the light of the information in route 10.
So we'll not hear that.
Marker, I mean.
You can hear we're at the end of the document there. Another thing you can do, which is very useful as well as reading off screen, you can use the left rocker bar to go up and down the screen as is. Also, you can go into the JAWS cursor, which again is reading off the screen.
JAWS cursor.
And you can read certain things which you wouldn't normally get in the document, and which sighted users would read. For instance, you can actually go down, page down, and read the status line, which is page 1, section 1, 101, that is page 101, at 7, line 33, column 23, etc. Also, you can page up.
Page up.
And it says Microsoft Word document 4. And then to the right of the screen, it's got minimize symbol. And if I press the scroll bar, maximize symbol, close symbol, and you can actually put your mouse cursor on those and do as you would. Sighted user, although it doesn't always seem to work for some reason. However, we'll go back into the
PC cursor.
Whilst in the JAWS cursor, of course, you can also read the menu bar and scroll bars and other symbols which would be on the normal viewing screen. You can also use the keypad keys, for instance, insert and 3.
Coma 8 point, page 1. Set 1, 1 slash 1, at 7, LN 33, all 23, red, TRKX, OVR, WPH.
To read the status line, but I prefer to read it on the display. Another useful, very useful thing which the power braille does is have a little switch to the left of a left hand rocker bar, which is a very small rocker bar within itself, and it shows all sorts of things, including highlight, which is the default. So as you turn that off, it switches automatically to the bottom when you rock the switch downwards like this.
Braille marking off.
So it's now got braille marking off, so we shall go up the way.
Braille marking highlight.
There, the highlight's on again.
Braille marking bold.
Now it'll show bold by showing you dot 7 and 8. Then
braille marking underline. Braille marking italic. Braille marking strikeout. Braille marking all. Braille marking off.
And so we'll get to braille marking up again. Braille marking all to highlight everything. but you don't really need that.
Braille marking highlight.
So we shall put it on to braille marking highlight again. And I say it's lovely to have contracted braille, which we used to be able to get in the days of DOS in WordPerfect. In the spell check, or anywhere else for that matter, if you put the cursor on a word, it uncontacts it, which is very useful, so you can see how it is actually spelled. Also,
old area 10.0.
It makes the capital letter come on the dot 7 below the letter, whereas when the cursor is off that word, the dot 6 is placed before the letter. There are one or two funny things which you get, such as on the OU sign, the ER sign, and contraction with 4, 5, the, you, upon, etc. You get a dot 7 just below the 4, 5 sign, or OU, ER, etc. However, I'm sure these will be put right. Also, there's a funny little anomaly, although that has been improved now in your 3.3 of the patch, where when you go control up arrow or down arrow, it passes blank lines, which can be slightly putting off, I think, because it's not quite two, as it were. However, when I first got JAWS 3.3, things like backslash, greater than, lesser than, were written right out unless the cursor was on it. However, there has been a patch since, which is on the HenterJoyce website, for those who know about it, www.hj.com. And this has put it right amongst other things, and I do believe at the time of recording there is another one coming up. However, another great thing I can show you about the power of braille is this. Also, get to the first paragraph. Often we get letters which are very much the same. For instance, especially the first paragraph.
Letter 30 August addressing the concerns expressed by the joint.
Right, that's the first line. And I might get another letter and state it different. Instead of having to cursor along,
you for your letter of 30,
which I used to have to do, I'll put the cursor back to the beginning of the line. 30th, we'll change it to 2nd of September. So we have a cursor routing facility. Each cell has a little dot above it, so I should press the one above 30. And we're there to prove it. Well, I can tell on the display that the cursor is there because it's flashing below the 3. Although if you want to use the keypad, you can say word.
Area 10.30.
And it gives you the font and type as well. So, of course, you can get rid of that date and put a new one in. However, we'll get rid of this document.
Control W, Microsoft Word dialog. Do you want to save the changes you made to document 4? Yes button.
And of course, again, I've got yes, no, and cancel on the display. If I go off screen, I can actually read Microsoft Word symbol, etc. Do you want to save the changes made to document, whatever? So we'll say no, we don't want it at all.
And document 3, edit.
So we'll get rid of that. Another useful thing with the cursor routine keys is that if you want to highlight something, you just press the button above the first letter of what you want highlighting, and you can also double click on it by just pressing that particular button too. So that's another very useful feature. I'll go into Windows Explorer and do backspace.
List view, not selected, 3/1/2 floppy, a 3/1/2 inch floppy disk, 1/1/6.
Well, it says it's not selected. A way of selecting it is, of course, pressing space bar.
Space, 3/1/2 floppy, a.
And it highlights it by putting a dot 7/8 on the bottom. So we'll go into drive 8. And it should be
list
just
view, not selected, name, size type, 1/6/0.
So it's 60 files, so yes. Let's see what we've got. Sometimes it's quicker just reading in speech.
Redsburg. Freenet, virus 2, HTTPS, hamster, fire, base, sas, plans 2, plans.
Yes, we're going to plans now.
IBM, plans notepad, edit.
And it's in notepad. and of course I can read either with voice or just with the display. So let's see what it says.
DCC news items.
Oh, it's a few headings. Of course, the great thing with Braille, you can tell whether it's centred or to the left or at the right. And that, of course, is centred DCC news items.
Blank. One RSGB, two RSGB data communications committee.
Right, so that is to the left. And we've got all these funny little greater than, lesser than signs. So it's nice just to miss these out and read RSGB, RSGB data communications committee. Of course, when it's a document like that, often we just want to read it in speech, just to see what it says, so let's see what happens.
One RSGB, two RSGB data communications committee, RSGB data communications committee information news items. 03 March 1999, band plan changes suspended. Last week SGB2RS reported changes to the datacom sections of the 6 meter, 2 meter and 70 centimeter, 2 meter.
You might want to know what bands were these it's changing, so I pressed control, it stops the speech.
Home.
Press home, so it's 6 meter, 2 meter and 70 centimeter bands. So that's the sort of useful thing you can do, especially when you want to look at numbers and things like that. We'll go back. If you want to read a document straight through, you can press the insert key on the keypad and down arrow and off it goes. Sometimes it goes a little bit off track, but you can deal with it in any case.
I'll
go back into Windows Explorer.
Alt-Tab, exploring 3.1F floppy A, arrow, exploring 3.1F floppy A, list view, text file plan 6KB, text document 12060.
So let's press insert 3 and have a look at this.
MSN serif, one object as selected, 5.76 KB.
Now, what was that number? Not sure, really. So, of course, one can maximise that screen, doesn't always tell you. So it says, text file, plans, 6KB, text document. So there you have the date too. Although it just gave whole numbers on the Braille display. I haven't actually noticed that before. Also, another thing, when you are in Windows Explorer, you get other things to the left of the text on the screen you want to look at, like folder above
eligible.
And folder access, which I suppose will be on the actual screen as well. It can be a bit confusing at first, but once you get into the way of reading the Braille display, you get used to how it works. So all in all, it's very useful to have the Braille display, especially with the contracted Braille. You can tell columns, spelling, because the way things are set out, you can tell where paragraphs are, know where you are in a table by noting where the cursor is, whether something is in bold, underlined, strike out, whatever it happens to be, even without the messages on, as it were. But it is also very useful to have speech as a backup medium, the way I use it here, for reading things, for checking things, and also it helps in programs where you don't really get the Microsoft hooks. Well, I haven't actually explained how you set up the speech and Braille options, etc. But if you would like to know more about that, then do let me know. So, with that, I hope you have enjoyed my little tour of the Power Braille 80 with yours 3.3. I had great fun setting that up for the demonstration because, of course, at work I don't actually have speakers, I just have headphones for the voice, etc. So I took Frank's little portable machine and a lead and also a double adapter, hoping to plug the lead into the outlet socket of the computer, plug the other end into the tape machine, also plug a pair of headphones into the tape machine to listen to the recording as I went along. However, unfortunately, I got a great big hiss and the voice was distorted, so I turned the voice down with the system volume and it still produced a nasty hiss. So I gave up with that, and in the end point I had the microphone with me, which is one someone gave me, and it has two little arms at the top, about an inch long, and these can be moved from the vertical to 180 degrees. So I put them to a triangular position, as it were, and spread them between the two ear pads of the headphones so that it would pick up the voice from the headphones and also my voice fairly near to it. Well, let's finish off with a little experience of mine. I sometimes go into the RSTB website to read the main news and or the local news or whatever, and they do have quite a big site. Its URL, if you're interested, is www.rstb.org, and you get the main news. And when you've been into the main news, if you look at the links, you also find there is listening to the main news in real audio. So I had a look at that, and I tried playing some of those links from it, and it didn't work. However, I did read about loading in the real player G2, which can read lots of content, and it gave a site. However, I seemed to find difficulty with it, so I sent an email to the chap whose pages it was for the RSTB audio news, and he sent me a reply back very, very quickly, told me what to do. However, I got the help of a friend of mine to load it in, because it had a few boxes and bits and pieces and go bars, which I'm not familiar with in Internet Explorer. I got version 5 on, by the way, which seemed to be working quite nicely. So we loaded it in on Monday night. There are different versions of it, so we loaded in the 8 megabyte version, which actually includes AOL Messenger, which I have since deleted because I'm on Freenet. And I had a play with it last night, and I did actually get an audio version, or a real audio version, of the RSTB news, so I was very pleased about that. And then we had a go at looking at some of the BBC stuff, including the World Service, and we had a little play with that. Apparently it can load in all sorts of stuff, including MP3 compressed, which seems to be an up and coming thing, where you can get a lot of music into one file. Apparently I have been told that all the Beatles stuff is in one of these, or at least you can put it onto a CD, which will only play on your computer, and this will play for at least 20 hours. Sounds quite something, doesn't it? However, we are coming to the end of the October 1999 edition of Computer Talk, so I want lots of articles for the January 2000 edition, which I hope will be a special edition for the beginning of a new millennium. So articles, demonstrations, what have you, we look forward to hearing from you. Our name and address is Julia and Frank Cosgrove, Cosgrove, number 8, Wandsworth Road, Heaton, Heaton, Newcastle upon Tyne, NE6, 5AD, Anno Domini. Phone number 0191-2656-345. Email address j.cosgrove@freenet.co.uk. And Frank's email address is frank.cosgrove@newcastle.gov, that is gov.uk. So, although it is early, we wish you a very happy Christmas with all that it stands for, and look forward to lots of articles from you all in the year 2000. And also thanks to Ray Hazan for doing all the copying for us. So now from myself and Frank, it's bye till next time. Bye for now.